How the enemy attacks families. Satan's strategies don't vary much. He is happy when disobedience to God weakens a marriage. He arms people with faulty thinking, like divorce is not a big deal, to reduce their commitment to long-term marriages. He is satisfied when divisions in the home break up a family, with all its negative effects on everybody involved. In this section, we will discuss particular ways Satan attacks families, but the focus will be more on footholds we give him for further attack. The following are some of the footholds Satan uses to launch even greater battles in marriage. The first is personal sin. No relationship can be as godly as it needs to be when either person in the relationship is living in sin. This has been the case from the beginning. Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree, and one of the repercussions of that sin was Adam choosing to blame his wife for their wrong. Their relationship simply could not be the same after sin became a part of their story. And I've discussed this, well, in a sermon recently about premarital considerations when you're counseling or thinking about marrying somebody, that if anybody starts off a marriage with one or both of the parties rooted in sin, like if you're marrying an unbeliever or if you're cohabitating and having premarital relations and things like that, or if one of the people that might get married is steeped in lustful sin or is an alcoholic or anything like that, then the marriage already starts off with sin. So personal sin can be at the beginning of a marriage, or it can be brought into a marriage, and Satan uses it. Adam and Eve changed the answers to three fundamental questions when they chose to sin, all of which influence our relationships. The first is what is true. God had told them they would die if they ate from the forbidden tree, but they rejected his words as untrue. They believed the lie of Satan instead. To veto God's word is to turn from the book that guides us in knowing how to live out healthy, godly relationships. The second fundamental question that they changed the answer to is, what is right? God had said it was not right to eat from the tree, but Adam and Eve chose otherwise. They instead determined that it was right. We need not look far to see that when human beings determine what is right, we often distort God's plan for relationships. And the third answer that they changed is the answer to the question, who am I? Rather than follow God as his creatures, Adam and Eve chose to set themselves up as God and establish their own rules. Such an attitude thwarts any sense of humility and self-surrender that mark godly relationships. Furthermore, believers who continue to live in sin choose to live according to the flesh, marked by any of the following characteristics: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar, found in Galatians 5:19-21. Such living grieves the Spirit, breaks relationships, risks the judgment of God, and opens the door for even more sin. The second way that the enemy attacks families is through spousal blame. Adam heard and knew about God's restriction on the forbidden tree. He knew God's standard, and he knew the consequences if they chose to reject it. But he chose to abandon his leadership role, listened to and followed his wife's enticing, and ate the forbidden fruit. Adam listened to Eve rather than obeying God. He chose not to take responsibility for his actions, however. He immediately blamed his wife and then ultimately blamed God for giving him Eve in the first place. Genesis 3:12, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." He went from responding enthusiastically about the creation of Eve as God's gift to him too, like the serpent, charging that God's good gift was malicious and led to his downfall. He looks at her as a mistake. This tactic is one work of the serpent. He leads us to think that God's gift of a spouse is hardly a gift at all. People blame spouses for their own adultery. They weren't meeting my needs. They had an affair first. I was just getting back at them. I deserve better than what I'm getting. Sexual issues aren't the only instance of spousal blame. When we want to validate our wrong emotions and actions, we blame our spouses for such things as children who rebel, jobs that do not work out, worrisome financial struggles, relocations that lead to loneliness, and anger that consumes us. The third way the enemy attacks families is unrighteous anger. It is possible to be angry without sinning, according to Ephesians 4:26. Righteous anger can quickly become a foothold for the devil, though, when we allow that anger to linger, fester, and grow. And apparently, even one night of persistent anger is enough for it to cross the line into sin. Remember that old saying my grandma always used to say as a piece of wedding advice, piece of marriage advice? Never go to bed angry. Resolve your issue before you go to sleep, because if you don't, it's going to linger and fester and continue on into the next day, into the next week. The fourth way that the enemy attacks families is marital inattention. Paul connected extended marital celibacy to spiritual warfare. 1 Corinthians 7, 2-5. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourself to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Someone in the Corinthian church was teaching to even abstain from sex if married. Paul corrected that and taught that believing couples were to abstain from sex only for short periods of prayer. They were to do so only under mutual agreement, and they were to come together again before satanic temptation grabbed them. Marriage is a shield against sexual sin. Lengthy times of refraining from sex in marriage increases the likelihood of sexual sin, adultery, porn, etc. Marital physical inattention becomes an open door for Satan's influence. Now, inattention is not limited to the physical side of marriage. The husband who sacrifices little to serve his spouse and gives her no time beyond the bedroom cannot claim to love her as Christ loved the church. The wife, who equally fails to prioritize time for her husband, gives little proof of being the best Christian spouse she can be. Inattention of any nature, physical, spiritual, emotional, sets up a foothold for Satan in the marriage. And the fifth reason, or the fifth way Satan attacks families, is financial worries. The number one issue that couples argue about is money. In addition, money fights are the second leading cause of divorce. There are several reasons money stresses become fertile ground for Satan to establish a foothold. First, how we spend our money reflects our hearts. Scripture's warning about money are everywhere. In Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again in Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters. for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And in Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When finances reflect hearts that are not in tune with God, we are ill-suited to be the best spouses we can be. And we have already granted the enemy a foothold. We cannot be exemplary Christian spouses when in idolatry. Second, financial issues hit at our security. Many of us view finances as our primary source of security instead of God. We may use faith language, but we are more inclined to speak about trusting God when our bank accounts are fat. We want to look at our finances and possessions and say, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Luke 12:19. Satan loves when we find our security in temporary things. And third, finally, financial problems are only symptoms of another problem. They reveal issues such as poor communication, selfishness, distrust, and unrealistic expectations. Lying about financial matters to your spouse or hiding your money from your spouse gives Satan a foothold. Or getting married and not merging bank accounts, for an example. That shows a distrust of the marriage right off the bat. That shows that you hold your money, your own freedom, your own financial freedom, as separate from your spouse. You want that financial freedom. You don't want to have a completely unified household. And that starts with your love of your own money. Being married, but having separate bank accounts from each other, is a foothold to Satan. It is lying and demonstrating your distrust of your spouse, your selfishness, and or your genuine lack of commitment to the one flesh union. The sixth way the enemy attacks families is faith struggles. The prosperity gospel is growing in the world, and it teaches that if you follow Jesus, all will be well, and he wants you to be blessed with health and wealth, and the devil wants to take it from you, rebuke him. This gospel is not biblical and ill prepares people for real spiritual warfare. Many of us don't believe in this false gospel explicitly, but are still surprised by challenges in our faith. Spiritual warfare is real, and it is real because God gives the enemy permission to attack us. When tragedies hit us unexpectedly, they are challenges to our faith. When our faith cannot handle crisis, everything is affected at some level, including our marriages. Our own lack of a theology of suffering and of spiritual warfare exacerbates a faith crisis, and Satan gets a foothold.